Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
So much of it sometimes is being happy first and the success follows afterwards. We think the success is going to come and that's just going to make us happy. And so many times in the last, just in the last couple of years, I've learned that lesson of, you know, be happy first and everything else is going to work out.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I have a dear friend with me here today who is going to give us so much love, light, and wisdom. She is just full of heart and laughter. Not only that, she just recently became a winner of this very intense 16-week challenge. It's a before and after fitness competition and health overall transformation, and we'll touch on it a little bit, but she just came in top 15, I'm sure, of thousands and thousands of people. So I can't wait to hear about that. She is also the author of the book, Come Back Strong, Balanced Wellness After Surgical Menopause. So I am so excited to bring to you Lori King.
Hi, Amber. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lori. Okay. So before we dive into some of your story, I'm going to get started off with a rapid fire. So the goal is one or two words or a short answer and just do the best you can with them. Okay.
Great.
All right, here we go. Where do you live? Where are you from?
So I grew up in the Finger Lakes region of central New York near Syracuse, and I currently live in Kingston, New York.
Do you ever get food cravings? And if so, how do you manage them?
Ooh, yes, I do. Sometimes, some days I ignore them. Some days I go for it.
Do you call foods that are kind of like treats? Do you call them treat meals, cheat meals, or something else altogether?
You know, while this lot, there's supposed to be short answers, aren't they? So I don't think foods are good or bad. I think we all react to them positively and negatively. So I would say they're either a treat or a cheat, but I don't get hung up on it.
Okay, awesome. So if you're going to have a food that could be a treat or a cheat, how does that work into your overall way of eating?
I think it's all about balance. Like if I do have a splurge or something like that, a treat or a cheat, you know, I know that it's a one-time thing. It's kind of how I look at the holidays, where it's a holiday. It's not a holiday. It's not a holla season or a holla month. It's a holiday.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
So I kind of think of cheats like that too. It's like, okay, if we're going out to dinner, if I'm having a cheat, then, you know, the next day I just kind of get back on track.
Oh, I love that. Who has been the most influential person in your health and wellness journey?
Ooh, my husband.
Aw, he's pretty influential. he's one of my top influencers too, but I'm sure he's been way more in your journey. Intuitive eating or food plan?
Food plan.
Favorite way to engage in self-care?
Meditation.
What's one thing you think of when you hear the word self-love?
Self-care.
What has been one tip that's been really important when it comes to your body and or weight management?
Love yourself, really. There's going to be ups and downs, but just keep loving yourself through the whole process. Mm-hmm.
All right. So right now, so we're done our rapid fire. And right now at this place, I mean, you've just been announced this great big winner. But I'm wondering if you can take us back to wherever you think is appropriate that would let us know like what it took to get you where you are, where you started out, and you know what it was like then.
So I've been an athlete for, gosh, probably close to 3 or 4 decades. I was a runner for a long time and then got turned onto the bike, the road cycle. I'm a road cyclist. And so I like to think of it in my 20s, it was all about exercise. In my teens and 20s, like I could eat whatever I wanted and didn't pay any attention really, and was an athlete. And that was how I lived my life. In my 30s, it got a little bit more challenging and I did have to start paying more attention to nutrition. And in my 40s, I found out more about hormones than I ever thought I wanted to. But about about 9 years ago, a friend had recommended some key nutrition. And that's where I really started learning about how, as an athlete, like we look at nutrition and we think there's never really a time when nutrition doesn't matter. And even if you're not an athlete per se, you're performing in life, whether you're a psychologist, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a parent, whether you're a partner. You know, that's your sport. If you think of that role as your sport, then nutrition is always important. And so there's always a time you're either preparing to be in that role, you're in that role, or you're recovering from that role sometimes. So right. It was really a matter of learning that, how important that was. And so in around 2014, I had entered this challenge. It was a before and after photo and an essay, and I ended up being the best shape of my life. I had dropped 20 pounds. I had the 6-pack abs that everybody covets, and I just felt amazing. And I never really had seen, I always felt like an athlete, but I didn't think I always looked like an athlete. And so, at that point I had won an honorable mention in this challenge and was super excited and had put off some medical issues, just because I wanted to give it all in the challenge and wasn't ready to do it. And so just some routine stuff, long story short, ended up with, a surgery, an unexpected surgery that launched me into, surgical menopause. And just to give a sidebar on people, if they don't understand that term menopause, yes, we think it's for older people, but it's, the surgical part is anytime your ovaries are damaged or removed, sends a woman into surgical menopause, and it can cause all sorts of symptoms that take some time to bounce back from. So, I go from this point of being the best shape of my life to all of a sudden having trouble sleeping, gaining weight, not having any focus, not having energy, really having trouble with relationships, and just my whole world kind of turned upside down. And so the last few years, has been kind of coming back from that. And for anyone that's ever had a setback or a challenge, a setback is just really something that takes you off course. And, for me, that was surgical menopause. For someone else, it might be a divorce. It might be an illness or an injury. But a setback is, it could also be a marriage. It could also be winning a fitness competition. It could be moving. It could be changing jobs. It sets you kind of off course from the course that you were on. And so I love to look at those as just a way to refocus and come back stronger than you might have been had you not gone through it. And so fast forward through the years, there was a lot of struggles and a lot of successes, and success is never a straight line. It's always a lot of ups and downs, but here we are today, and I'm, an author that I never really thought I'd be, and, I'm one of 15 finalists and super excited about that, and just have no idea what to expect for 2019, but I'm just going confidently and quietly and excitedly and just trying to be present with all the emotions and learning as much as I can.
And it's so interesting that, a couple years ago you're thinking, okay, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life, and you get there and then you're presented with this other challenge that you didn't see. And now it's kind of come full circle where I imagine that getting this call now that you've won this means a whole heck of a lot different stuff, and maybe even more than it would have meant before.
It really does, because I think when I look back to that point, my weight was at around 117 or 119, and I'm 5'4". And I thought I had to get there to win. I thought I had to be as lean as I could be. I thought I had to be dialed in perfectly. And here I am a few years later, above 130, and realizing it's not about the scale. Like health and nutrition and a really good quality of life, it's not tied to a number, you know. And when I think about the pictures that I won with, the difference in the picture was that I just got really playful. we had a great day and I was laughing and joking and just really, you know, kind of showing that inner joy and that playfulness. Right. Whereas in the past, I think I've just always been really hard on myself and tried to be perfect. And this time I didn't worry about being perfect. I just worried about being me. And I think so many people have said, you know, that picture, you just look really happy and joyful. And ironically, that's the picture that, you know, helped, you know, me with this recent success. And
right.
I love the lesson in that, is just the joy and the just being you, you know? Mm-hmm.
So. Absolutely. And I think that's a huge lesson for people to hear. Like, sometimes we don't have to be so perfect and so serious. And oh my gosh, I used to be so serious and try to be so perfect. And little did I know that actually made me less likable and less mm-hmm. fun. But mm-hmm. you know, you just think, okay, when I'm perfect and I've got it all together, then people will like me, or then I'll be enough, or whatever it is. And you don't realize what you're missing out on along the way. And there's so many freaking moments every single day for a little bit of joy or a little bit of fun, even if you don't look, you know, like a cover model or whatever, right?
Oh man, exactly. And perfect, like no one can aspire to be perfect. Like perfect puts you on a pedestal that nobody can achieve, and nobody, right. you know, everybody looks up at you in awe, but nobody wants to join you. And I think so much about the human experience is about relationships and bringing people with us, and who can we help, and who can, you know, get up here on, you know, on this stage with me, not, you know, don't put me on a yeah. pedestal. It's not perfection. It's just life lessons and timing and, you know, doing, you know, so much of it sometimes is being happy first, and the success follows afterwards. We think the success is going to come and that's just going to make us happy. And so many times in the last, just in the last couple of years, I've learned that lesson of, you know, be happy first and everything else is going to work out. And I love that part, because it keeps me from working so freaking hard.
Yeah, it's so true. And such a hard like lesson to learn. And I hope she just said, be happy first. If yeah. you didn't hear that, that's what yeah. she said.
and exactly. And you know, we're all really good at working really, really hard.
Right.
Right. And sometimes working really, really hard doesn't get us where we want to be. And, right. you know, if you're waiting for like some magical thing, event to happen, like to be happy, like it's, I'm sorry to say, it's not going to happen. Like you really need to learn to be happy first. And, right. and so much, you know, I'm sure there's studies that talk about, you know, the happier people, like that's when you fall in love. That's when you find the job. That's when you find success, you know?
Right.
And I'm not a scientist. I don't have those studies. But I just know from my own experience, like if I focus on just being playful, being joyful, you know, being vulnerable. I think that's a big one too. Like yeah. letting down the guard of just saying, I haven't figured this out, you know,
right.
You know, in the book tour, like a lot of what I've always wanted it to be is a conversation, because, you know, I don't have all the answers. I can share my experience and hopefully that will inspire other people, but it really always, like, that's why I love like an interview like this, Amber, because it's a conversation and it's yeah. us guiding each other and learning from each other, and the audience, you know, giving you feedback too. And I love that aspect of life.
Oh, so good. And so can you take us back to right now? We're talking about being happy and joyful and playful, but I imagine when you had to go through that surgical medic pause, I mean, you talked about losing focus, losing energy, weight gain, you know, what was that like to go through that experience?
It was really hard. You know, I remember, you know, just as a wellness coach and, you know, someone who prides themselves in fitness and health, you know, going to a convention, a wellness convention, and being carted off in an ambulance, you know, because I was having stomach pains, and how embarrassing, right? You know, right. But just the reality of where I was at that point. And, you know, there were a lot of lows. There was a lot of struggles. You know, even having great nutrition and knowing what to do to lose weight, I still gained weight through this process. And I was fortunate that I, you know, there's women having this surgery and gaining 40 pounds in 6 months or a year. And that's not uncommon for that to happen. And mine was, you know, I was gaining about a pound a month, and I was like, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, it didn't turn around for a good close to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so it just wasn't comfortable, and I wasn't comfortable in my skin. And I think a common thing too for women and for men that I talk to is, you know, when we're not feeling confident and we're not feeling joyful, we start hiding, and we hide in a lot of ways. We hide in our body, we hide in our clothes, we hide in our jobs, you know, maybe you hide behind a computer. And so it's really finding that joy and that happiness inside and being able to step back out in confidence. And, you know, I've always been very transparent and vulnerable with the lowest point of, you know, it was about a year and a half after surgery, and I was just looking for solutions and I was struggling and I was still frustrated and insomnia and all the, you know, stuff that didn't make me feel healthy and confident. And I remember a conversation that very quickly turned into an argument with my husband where, you know, I felt like I was struggling the most and he was pulling away from me. And you know, I remember like just lashing out at him and saying, you know, I need you the most right now. And you disappeared. You're not here. And he just looked at me and he's like, Lori, he's like, I didn't go anywhere. He's like, you disappeared for the last year and a half. He's like, you know, I'm just barely getting by holding our marriage and holding myself together and not letting you suck me under. And it was just, whoa, you know, wow. Like it was almost like for a year and a half, I had just totally gotten so self-absorbed and couldn't see what was going on around me and that, you know, how bad it was hurting someone that I loved that much. And right. It was a real wake-up call to be able to say, okay, what am I responsible for here? What do I need help with? And what can I really take responsibility and make changes myself? And that was kind of the beginning of, you know, what I call the comeback of all comebacks of just, you know, I'm done wallowing the self-pity and I'm going to, you know, start focusing on the good and the happiness and the positive and the gratitude and stop focusing on symptoms and what's wrong. And I think even with any like weight loss journey, or if you're, you know, you're struggling with dieting or looking at resolutions for the new year, it really is focusing on where you want to go and not where you are, you know, or where you've been and, or what's wrong or what you're struggling with, just really turning that, into a focus and almost a mantra for where you want to go and believing it before you maybe see it.
Right. I mean, even when you just shared that with me, I mean, I was thinking about my own fiance and I was thinking, I love that guy. And if he said something like, I was really caught in your story there. And it felt like a punch in my gut. If I like had my partner say that to me, like that I had been hiding or I'd been lost. And it sounds like it hit you really hard to hear that from him. And it made you really do some serious thinking about what you were going to do from there.
I did.
So after you have that conversation, what were some of the first steps you started to take to have this comeback?
I think a lot of it came into, you know, self-care and self-love, which we've, you and I have talked about a lot, and just knowing what I need and knowing what's going to make me healthy. I kind of think of it sometimes, everything always comes back to the bike for me. So I think of wellness as like a wheel on a bike where you have this inner hub and this outer wheel and you have all these spokes and each spoke is a different element. It could be, you know, for me, it's exercise, it's nutrition, it's being in nature, it's sleep, it's meditation, it's faith, it could be your career, it could be your kids. But each spoke is in your wellness wheel. And one spoke by itself can easily bend, but all the spokes together are stronger and support the rider. And so these are all spokes that, you know, each one of us have. They might be a little different from one person to the next, but you can kind of self-care and wellness. For me, I start kind of examining those. It's like, okay, how's my exercise? Okay, my exercise, it's consistent. I'm happy with that. That's moving me forward in the right direction. I feel good with that. Okay, where's my nutrition? Oh, I could use a little tweaks here. How's my sleep? How's my meditation? Where am I? You know, maybe it's a relationship. Sometimes, whether it's your relationship with a higher power, it could be your relationship with your partner, a parent, a sibling, a coworker. Are there things that are out of whack?
Right.
You can start to adjust those things and work on those things to bring you back into a better place of health and wellness. And for me, some of those things were sleep. I really had to find positive ways to help me sleep better, lower stress, which for me, I was always a work hard, play hard kind of girl. So exercise is not a problem for me, but the slowing down of like the yin activities of yoga and meditation, those are the first things still that get thrown out in my week if I get hectic, and they're the things that I need the most.
Right.
And so knowing that, moving forward, it's like, I know the next month between the holidays and we're traveling in January and, there's fitness competition and all that. Like, I know the next month is going to be crazy busy and hectic and wonderful and exciting and changing and transforming. And so I know, okay, every morning I have to have, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes of quiet time, reading, meditation, writing, journaling. I know I need that in my life. You know, nature is a big one. This time of year in the Northeast, it's really hard. So going back to that time, you know, that was all part of like just figuring out, what does Lori need? Not what does the world say I need? What does Lori need? What does she thrive on? And this year, like, I really remembered how to play. I was in Costa Rica a couple of years ago and I bought a paddleboard, and it was in like the end of, it was early October when I brought it home. And so in the winter in the Northeast, like, I didn't get a chance to use it. So this last spring, I really started using it, and it totally brought me back to like these childhood memories of being on the water with my dad and as a family. And it just, it was just finding that happy place. And so often we get so caught up in life, jobs, and parenting and adulting, and we forget to play. And so I always think, like, well, you know, when people are trying to remember, like, what is play to me? And for me, it's always thinking back to what you loved in your childhood. You know, maybe it was gardening with a parent, or playing frisbee or kickball, or, you know, for me, like I said, there was a lot of water-based type stuff. So it was making sure I brought that back into my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you really did tune in and ask, what does Lori need? And you were able to go through those spokes and you said, okay, nutrition, sleep, relationship, fitness, play. And you've really paid attention to the different spokes in your life that you need for you, and work to fine tune those.
Yeah. And each season it could be a little different. You know, as you go forward, like in this exciting time, as you're planning a wedding, like, your spokes may be different this year than they have been in the past. You know, for someone that's, you know, just been, you know, I know my husband, when he was an athlete all his life, but, and he had a family medical, you know, history that he was really trying to outrun or outride. And, when a doctor looked at him and said, you know, a cardiologist looked at him and said, you know, you need to change your lifestyle. He said, well, what do I need to do? He's like, you need to lose weight. And, you know, so people are faced with that every single day. And it's really a matter of like knowing that so many people are counting on you. You know, this isn't just about you. The world needs you. The world needs each and every one of you. And if nobody's ever told you that, you know, for any of your listeners, it's like, the world needs you and needs your story, and needs something from your life, and show up for it. You know, we don't always know what it is, but the fun part is figuring it out along the way.
Absolutely. So you go from this place, you start dialing in those spokes, you know, you need to show up. And when did you set your sights on wanting to be, you know, part of this top 15?
Setting my sights on it actually came before the
second. Right.
So my first challenge that I did, I was all in. I was counting the days down. Like, every day I did a Facebook post and it was like 87 days, 86 days, 85 days. And people were like, what the hell are you counting down for?
Yeah.
And it was just a real, I was all in and all focused. And then, like I said, this, you know, setback that kind of took me out of the game for a little while, but I was still in the challenge and I was still going through, you know, every 16 weeks I was starting and ending and starting and ending. And sometimes my before pictures looked better than my after pictures. And it was like, you know what, I started this, I'm going to commit to finish it. And this last year, I guess it was just a matter of, you know, still getting back into that focus and just knowing it may take me longer this time. You know, it may take two or three challenges. It may take four challenges. But just not giving up and just always kind of like, I'm very organized and very structured in my mind. So it's like, I'm always thinking, okay, 16 weeks, breaking it down into 8 weeks or 4 weeks and, you know, going from there and chunking it as we go forward. And a little of it was also, again, just choosing to be happy and joyful and being confident with how far I'd come. Mm-hmm. And I'm thrilled that I got recognized. But I also, this last challenge was really about doing it for me and really about, you know, making sure I was healthy and confident in what that meant for me. And it wasn't what everybody thought it should be or needed it to be. And again, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I started these challenges 4 or 5 years ago of, you know, oh, you have to be a certain body weight and a certain percentage, and you have to be dialed in just like a fitness competitor. And, you know, you can do it a lot of different ways, but again, it's that confidence and just self-love, learning to just be happy with where I'm at and how far I've come, and honoring my body for all that it's gone through. I think sometimes we forget that too, whether you've been through a surgery or you've been through childbirth. I know a lot of women, it's like that like in itself is just a miracle, right? You know, in the world. But even healing from surgery or healing from an injury or things like that, just the fact that we can walk every day and breathe is, you know, just really getting back in touch with that, honoring the body of just, it's a miracle in itself. So,
so you've been honoring your body. You had some forgiveness, some grace. You really talked about joyful now doing it for you. You know, how can you give us an example of, you know, maybe what some foods look like for you, or how meal plans are set up for you in a way that honors you, your goals, and your body?
There are a lot of different food plans out there. But anything from, you know, I've been gluten-free for 9 or 10 years. I found gluten just didn't sit well with my system. And so that was my first learning process about food, of what feels good and what feels right. And if I take something out of my diet plan, how does it feel? So removing gluten for me was, I just feel better without it. I'm not celiac. I wasn't diagnosed with anything. It just, when I removed gluten, I felt amazing. You know, these days you hear everything about paleo and keto and, you know, Mediterranean diets and vegetarian and vegan, and everybody's got a different taste. And, you know, for me, I'm a 40-30-30 girl. I everything about my life is balance. I'm a Libra, you know, someone, I don't know astrology, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to a lot of that. So someone, if they can shed some light on it for me, but I don't know if it's Libra is the sign of the scales. I don't know if that means I'm supposed to be balanced or I'm just always seeking balance. But even in my food plan, I seek balance in that, kind of like carbs, fats, and proteins of just a little, you know, balance. So, I eat a lot of chicken. I eat a lot of fish. I do love red meat. I don't have it every day, and I don't even have it really once a week anymore, but, I will have a burger. Love a good burger. Good burger and a beer. That's one of my fun meals. You know, but I love a lot of vegetables too. So, I do try one thing, and I've played around with a lot of different things recently. I did, within our nutritional system, I did a keto protocol, which was high fat, moderate protein, and really low sugar and low carbs, under 20. And it's not a lifestyle I knew I wanted to continue. I'm glad I tried it and learned a lot. And what I learned was, you know, when you do get something out of your system, some of the cravings go away. Like by doing that low carb, like all of a sudden, I don't have the same cravings for sugars and cookies and ice cream that I used to. And that's a real treat, especially going into the holiday season.
Yeah, so, no kidding.
you know, if we're fortunate, we don't have a Cold Stone Creamery near us. I don't know if they have those in Canada, but it's the best ice cream in the world. The closest one is an hour away. So, and I'm like spoiled, like I won't have ice cream anywhere else. So it has to be a dedicated plan to go there to have that treat. And when I do it with love and grace and a lot of joy. But for the most part, it's a lot of vegetables. It's oatmeal. It's, I do have shakes every day. When I met my husband, he was an athlete, and he introduced me to shakes just as part of a great way to get nutrition in. I remember growing up, Amber, I played sports after school, and my mom, I was so blessed to have a family structure that, you know, my mom just demanded that we all have dinner together as a family every night. The challenge was for me, coming from a sport and going right to the dinner table, my system didn't thrive on that calendar or that timetable. I really didn't want to eat when I got home, but yet, you know, we're kind of in that childhood or teenage structure where you have to. And so now I'm really able, that was a big thing for me with shakes, of just being able to really manage my digestion and with something like a shake that's just really easy on my system and feels good.
I love what you said there, feels good. Right. Yeah. Cause it's going to feel good for you. And at different times it feel different. And like you kind of talked about with keto, that didn't feel good, but there's other things that you like that feel good. And I think that eating, it has to feel good no matter what we're doing, or we're not gonna be able to stick to it.
Right. And the other thing I learned about keto was the fat, the healthy fats really was important. And like, I think sometimes our image of paleo or keto sometimes is like, for me, I was like, oh, it's just a lot of meat and anything goes and you can eat bacon and sausage and, you know, all this, you know, fat to get in your system. But there's a difference, you know, just like there's healthy carbs and not so healthy carbs and there's healthy fats and not so healthy fats. And
right.
It really did. It was a great reminder that like, for me personally, I really want a lot more balance. And that's what feels good for me. And I know I have a friend who's vegetarian. That's what feels good for her. I have a friend that's vegan and that's what, and vegan and raw, feels, I've tried raw, you know, eating more raw foods and it doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't feel good. So I think that's, you know, just making sure you have really great nutrition and you do it in a healthy way and you educate yourself. I think that's right. The big thing too. So many of us go into this blindly and, oh, I want to be a vegetarian, but you still need a high source of protein.
Right.
So that's where, to me, the balance always comes back around to it.
So much good stuff there. So we're almost out of time, but because you have rockin' body, rockin' abs still, even though everything you've gone through, I'm curious, and I'm sure people have asked you, I'm sure you're gonna get this in your DMs. Can you just let us know how often you're working out and like what kind of you're doing, just briefly?
Sure. So when my abs first popped, I was strength training 5 days a week. I was doing fasted morning aerobics and fasted evening aerobics, or not fasted evening, but so in the morning getting up, doing 5 or 6 days a week of 20 to 30 minutes of high intensity. It's what a lot of people call HIIT or Tabata training now, to get the metabolism running. And then also after the last meal in the evening, I was doing cardio at night. So that's where, you know, the abs popped, so much of the muscle tone really started to show. And then even with everything that I've gone through, you know, I still now it's a lot more moderate where, you know, it's kind of like losing weight is harder than maintaining weight. Once you have muscle mass, it's a little bit easier to maintain it than it is to build it. Mm-hmm. So now my workouts, I typically do 3 days a week of strength training. So 2 days are about a half an hour. I'm very quick and efficient, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in and out of upper body 2 days a week, and then 1 day of lower body. And then in the Northeast this time of year, I'm doing a lot of indoor cardio on my bike, on a trainer. And then I'm committing to, you heard it first here, to 2 days of yoga a week.
We heard it first, everybody.
You
did. Doing yoga.
Did. I am. And I love hot yoga, Bikram yoga. I just bought a class pass, a 3 months unlimited. So I have to get the most out of it. Like I said in the beginning, like that's kind of the one of those things that I struggle the most is to keep the yoga. And it's the one thing that I need the most because it allows me to do everything else. Cause not only is it flexibility, but it's just this whole mind body connection. So, I still do maybe 3 days in the morning of fasted cardio, 1 or 2 days of just a more of a longer bike ride. And typically 1 full day of rest. We talked a little bit before the podcast of, you know, when I go away on vacation, I take the week off. I don't work out. So I believe, you know, we need to build in times of rest, and whether it's a week or a weekend or a few days throughout the year, your body needs that too, because that's when the recovery and that's when the building and growth happens too.
I love that. And I think that's true. The rest is important, but so is getting the other things in a way that works for you. And it sounds like you're finding that and doing things like committing to yoga, even when, I love that. And it's great advice for us all to think about. There's things that we need, that we know we need, that we just need to commit to sometimes, right? Exactly. Oh man. So Lori, you have given us so much wonderful information today. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. If people want to know more about your book or they want to follow your journey even more, where can they find you?
Easiest place is my website, which is loriannking.com. So it's Lori, LoriAnnAnn, King, KING, each one short and sweet, loriannking.com. You can find all my social media on there and follow me on my blog. But there's also resources for how to find my book or a couple giveaways too. So
amazing. Well, thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you, Amber. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions, so please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.